But this is what I have found out and that to be true. And this is it. Talk all the talk you want to talk. Africa will be the least developed continent on this earth until Christians arise and become Christians. Why? Because the underdevelopment in Africa is not an accident. It's not an accident. It's a spiritual cloud that's upon the continent, especially sub-Saharan Africa. It's a problem of black men. It is. It's a spiritual cloud. It hangs upon them everywhere they go. My friend told me once he went to a part of the U.S. That's in that state that had a hurricane that time, Katrina. New Orleans. Yeah, what's the name of that state? That's New Orleans. That's the name of the state, right? Louisiana, thank you, yes. He went to New Orleans anyway. He said, you see parts of New Orleans that he, coming from Nigeria, did not know such poverty existed. He says, sir, it is bad to be poor, but it's okay if you are poor when everybody around is poor. He said, but for you to be poor in the midst of plenty is terrible. Everywhere black people gather, they are always at the bottom as a group. Listen, there's a reason. It's not the color of the skin. It's a spiritual cloud over their heads. Why I'm talking about it is that you and I that call ourselves Christians, we have a duty. Life for us is an assignment to prove that indeed Jesus died. Somebody sent a clip to me. I forwarded to many of us here. A lecture Peter Obi gave some time ago, somewhere in a church in Nigeria. They invited him to speak. But there's a portion of it in which he spoke. And that brother who heard it, he said, Pastor, this is what you have been teaching. So he caught that portion and sent to me. And Peter Obi talked about how he went for a course in the United States, Kellogg's Business School. And that man, the professor who founded the college, he took a walk. Now, first, the man gave lectures the last day on development, world development. And the man conspicuously missed out Africa. So he put up his hand and said he had a question. How come you have said nothing about African development? The man said, you want to hear about Africa? See me tomorrow. Tomorrow he told, I think in the open, said that nobody plans with Africa in mind. He told the man openly. So let's take a walk. They were taking a walk and I was talking to Peter Obi. Say, you guys have no plan, no agenda, no purpose, no where you are going. No serious businessman puts you in mind. He said, when you see cars, you see Asian specification, US specification, European specification. He said, have you ever heard of African specification? He said, people are not going anywhere. The white man told him the truth. And please, don't be offended. Truth is bitter. But chew it. It will help you. Why that brother sent it to me is because he said, sir, you have been preaching these things. The man said, Peter Obi said, the man offered him, he said, do you have your currency there? He said, yes. So brother, he said, that time 100 naira was the biggest note we had, 2001. So he gave him 100 naira note. The man gave him $100. So they had two. So he told Peter Obi, pick one. Which one do you prefer? Peter Obi said, I prefer the dollar. Peter Obi, so the man said, why? He said, because at that time, naira was about 100 to the dollar. He said, because this is 100 naira. That dollar in naira is 10,000. Because the man smiled. They kept on walking. After a while, I told him, look at the currencies. Which one do you prefer? They went over it again. He said, that's not the reason why you prefer the dollar. He said, the reason why you prefer the dollar is because you have more faith in it. You know it has future. He said, it's not the volume. He said, that is the problem with you Africans. You have no faith in your economy. You have no faith in your society. So each person makes himself rich and runs to America with his money. So he told Peter Obi, go back home and go and help your society develop. Peter Obi said that's why he agreed to become governor in Anambra State. That was the reason. He didn't need anything. So that man told him that you Africans, let me summarize it. I want to use my own words now. Hopeless people. No faith. When they make money at home, I have been saying it here. If Americans print dollars, it will have value. Why? The desire of all men is for it. Africans alone are enough to make America rich because we love the dollar. Peter Obi said, the man looked at him and said, go back home and help your people develop as a group. That if Chinese man makes money, he keeps it in Chinese currency. If European makes money, there was no euro that time. If the German has money, he keeps it in Dutch marks. If the British man has money, he keeps it in pound sterling. He loves his local currency because he has faith that things will be okay there. If he ever carries money elsewhere, he wants to make more money with it. But we, if we steal, we carry it to America. If we earn, we carry it to America. If we inherit, we carry it to America. The man said, that is why, and I didn't say this, I'm adding many things together. I've been saying it for a long time. That is why America will keep on getting rich. It is us that's making them rich. They didn't do anything bad. We are the fools. And I understood why God raised me the way he did. When my salary in a month was $17, I finished NYC in 1993. October, 93. That's when I finished NYC. 95, I began to work in Luth. Dollar was 17 naira to the dollar when it was earning 5,005 a month. Will you go abroad? I said, I'm not going. I don't know how God even taught me that thing that time. I just said, I'm not going. I said, I'm not a slave. I said, I'm not going. Your money is only $70. I said, no, it's 5,000 naira. There's a world of difference. The woman I was arguing with that day, I won't give you her full names, but her first name was Ifoma. I still remember. She was arguing, said, this is annoying yourself. I said, no, madam. There's a world of difference between 5,000 naira and $70. I insisted my salary was 5,000, not $70. Even though conversion, she was right. But I refused to look at the dollar. I looked at my naira. I remember one day, I went to my mother and I were speaking. One of my cousins just sent a car home from Europe. You know the way it is. These are boys you beat well in school. When they were struggling to pass jump after 3 attempts, I entered to study medicine, first batch. Nobody had to speak to anybody for me. The men will send cars home, and you will take a bus home. You don't blame your mother. She said, the bank is sealed. You know, once she began it, you know, this America thing. I said, Mommy, as Archbishop Idahosa said, the lizard in Nigeria will not become an alligator in America. She said, you have come again. I said, yes, I have come. I was just arriving from home that day. Yes, I was coming from Lagos. Leave me. This life, I came to make a statement. I didn't even know all these things that time. But that's how God was just pushing me. I trekked with joy. I was very happy. Told everybody I'm a king. God made me a king. I'm nobody's slave. Issachar is a strong donkey lying down between the sheepfolds. When he found that the resting place was pleasant and that the land there was good, he bent his back to bear the burdens and became a slave at first labor. I said, I'm not doing. That's Issachar's problem. I rejected the spirit of Issachar. It was for freedom that Christ set me free. Listen, the freedom that God has given you sometimes has to be pushed out through trials and tribulations. We have the duty to make a statement. African Christians have a duty to make a statement. They have a duty to make a statement. And what is the statement? Let's read it. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It's a very long read. I'm going to stop around verse 21. So get ready. He said, now I make known to you, brethren, of course, as I go on, I'll give some interesting interpretations and application to these scriptures that we're reading. He said, now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which you also stand, by which also you are saved. Please, can I just beg you for something? I will be reading it. Just get used to me. I will add salt, pepper, nguanguam, you know? You know what I'm saying? Oporoko, all kinds of things into the thing as I'm reading to make you understand it. Occasionally, I'll go backwards again. Please, so just bear with me. He said, now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which also you stand, by which also you are being delivered from poverty. The word salvation doesn't mean to be removed from sin and go to heaven alone. It also means by which also you have been healed. He said, now this happens if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. Remember, you are going to hold fast, which means there's a process. Verse 3. This is fundamental to Christianity. This is fundamental to Christianity. Christianity is not a set of methods by which we get results in life. Christianity is not a set of principles men press keys. I've heard people say that these are things unbelievers do and they get results. If you give like this, unbelievers are giving and they get results. And I say, that in that case, I don't want to learn it. That is not the gospel of Jesus. Christianity is different from spiritualism. Christianity is not the working of miracles. Christianity is not the casting out of demons. Men did it without Jesus. Because Jesus said that if I am doing it by Beelzebub, how do your sons cast them out? Men were casting out demons. Exorcism is still present in many religions that don't practice the name of Jesus. Christianity is different. Christianity is not a set of principles. God is a person. Jesus is alive. Jesus, I don't know whether right now, physically standing beside me, but he could be standing here. I know spiritually he's everywhere. He can walk in and tell my wife, please, can I take your seat? And she'll move somewhere else and he'll sit down and he'll listen to me preach to be sure I am saying what he told me to say. He's not a set of principles. He's a person. Christianity is about him. You don't interpret scripture any other way apart from Christ. Don't ever forget it. Sometimes we forget it. Sometimes people come with keys on how to succeed. They forget Christianity. We're talking about grace. It's the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not any other grace. It's the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not how to get spiritual principles to work for you. No, it is the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is who I live for. That is who I preach. Let's never forget it. That's the person that his grace will come into your life and solve problems if there are problems there. Please, let's not forget it. We cannot get modern without gospel. It doesn't get modern. It's just the truth that Jesus died for you and for me. Please, this is very important. Paul said, like verse 3, for I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received. As of first importance, as a principle of fruitfulness, I deliver to you that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, that is Peter, then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, most of whom remain until now, but some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to the apostles. And last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared to me also. For I am the least of the apostles, and even not fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me did not prove vain. But I labored even more than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, so you believed. Now I want to bring out something here. Please, I have to explain this. If you go back, it's of first importance, I deliver to those who have come to attend this seminar, the laws of fruitfulness. That here, I declare that Jesus died for your sins. That is a foundation for fruitfulness. I said something earlier, that unfruitfulness is a curse. That's why we read from Genesis chapter 3. And I'm saying to you, Jesus died to free you from that curse. Amen. That is not a principle by which you do business. It's a knowledge that gives you success in life. Are you getting my point? Please don't listen to any other thing I'm saying this week or anybody else who will speak here will say, if you forget that. I don't believe in ancestral curses for the simple reason that Jesus died to wipe them away. Not because they don't exist in themselves. I'm saying to every Christian, you have been delivered from ancestral curses. the curse that, listen to this, that held black people down so that everywhere they gather in the world, when people are doing big business, they don't plan with them in mind. Once, they said South Sudan, they wanted to aid the government in South Sudan. You know how much money they gave them? To start off a whole government. $58 million. At that time, for a second round of bailout, Greece was negotiating $300 billion. It's what they call poverty. A whole government, $58 million, to bail out, not to start a country, to bail out Greece. Second round, something like $300 billion was being negotiated. Can you see the difference? Somebody say that's a curse. Now, what am I preaching? Jesus has delivered you from that curse.
Amen.
Ancestral curses in your life, they've been broken. The other day I was watching TV. I won't tell you where, but you can guess. I stumbled onto the channel. My name is Susan Sansa. I'm from Anambra State. I live in America, but right now I'm in Nigeria. This man of God has delivered me. So I said, let me see what the man of God did again. Then the clown began to speak. How spiritual people are following him in his dream. And now his business is not doing well. And his first marriage broke down. And his wife carried him to court. And then I felt like I said, bro, come. That wife, swear to God, is not a contract wife. Let's never not go near there. And he's now paying child support. And this and this and that and that. And then one day he was watching Man of God on television. And I keep on wondering, why do people go out of their way to prove they are men of God? I've never come to you to prove that I'm a preacher. Now you carry your leg, come listen to me, don't be so. So what do you have to say about this man of God? He's a real man of God. He's a real man of God. I start laughing to myself. But that's not where I'm going. The man went on and on. And so that day, the man of God was saying, your problem, they are over. And he was listening. I should lay on television. I felt like, welcome. Your bondage has started. Because I listened to his testimony. There was not one point in which he said, I gave my life to Christ. There was not one point in which the name of Jesus was mentioned as a cause of deliverance. There was not one point in which they pointed to the atoning power of the blood of Jesus as washing him away from the ability, from the power of Satan that wants to hold his life. Not one point. I felt like reading through the television and saying, the guy, you are not delivered. You are in second round of bondage. The spirits have exchanged you. They are very terrible. When they've heard one guy for a long time, they say, well, I don't tire for this guy. Who wants? Say, give him. Give him to a false prophet. I just look, I said, this guy has not been delivered. I confirmed to myself again. I said, him and his man of God, both of them are jokers. Paul said, I present this to you as of first importance. And that's what he said. Of what? First importance. The reason why you are not producing in life is not because you are not diligent. That's not first importance. Curses are real, but in Christ they have disappeared. Look, this is the foundation of grace. This is the foundation of grace. Paul said, I deliver to you as of first importance that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day. Very important. Please notice those things. One, he died. Two, he was buried. And three, he was raised. He was raised. Just bear that in mind. Let's continue reading. We're in verse 12. He said, now if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there's no resurrection of the dead? If Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say a young woman born in poverty cannot become fruitful in life? That's what he's saying here. He said, if there is no resurrection of the dead, not even Christ has been raised. Listen, if anybody tells you there's a curse that can hold you down as a believer, then Christ was not raised. That is of first importance. Please, The time has come for you to stop all this looking for deliverance because your business is not doing well. There are other things that cause businesses not to do well, careers not to move forward for the believer. It is not the curse of one ancestor in one village. Let me tell you this, you know, when you start preaching, you're a young boy, then you start growing older as a preacher. Start getting bolder. Start disrespecting people because you're older than most of them. It's true. No, I mean, I've been preaching in this place alone. I've been doing this thing here for 13 straight years. Before that, I was doing it around here and there. Now, one day, I said, now, wow, I'm not small again. Some pastors that I know, some of them are sitting down here, they formed a chat group of young ministers, and they didn't put me. I told my wife, can you see? You are no longer a young minister. Until that day, I thought I was a young minister. Then okay, they told me that they have this chat group, them young ministers. I said, wife, your husband not old. So because I'm no longer a young minister, I can say something very boldly. All those who are organizing deliverance for you and going to the village, it is only your money they are looking for. Nothing else. Okwinano. It's only your money they are looking for. It's a business. You are a client. And they can't discharge you because you need to come back. Like the Americans will say, the money is in the comeback. That's why the drug dealer gives the first few shots free of charge. Because the money is in the comeback. It takes 5 days for a man to get hooked on heroin. Yes, on heroin he gets hooked in 5 days. The drug dealer will dash you the drug free of charge for 5 days. Because the money is in the comeback. That is why you know you've done deliverance 3 days. They told you you were free. 6 months later, you did 7 days deliverance. They told you you were free. 8 months now. They've invited you for 30 days permanent deliverance. You are a junkie. You are hooked. And that is founded on a lie. They are telling you that Jesus did not rise up from the dead. Next time you see them, tell them you have found out the truth. That the scriptures have been proven to be correct. And Paul preached it and is still being preached that indeed on the third day, Christ was raised from the dead. For that reason, you have been raised from the problem that it say you are bound to. This is of first importance. Stop pursuing spirits that are not pursuing you. They can't. Because you are in Christ and you have been delivered. This is a foundation for fruitfulness. If you plant a seed that is dead, does it germinate? I am saying you have been made alive in Christ. That's why you will succeed. Amen. You have been delivered from sin. I didn't hear your amen. Let me say it again. You have been delivered from sin.
Amen.
We can't teach anything except we get the first important thing right. Paul said, I deliver this to you as of what? First importance. As of first importance. That's my message for today. If you don't believe it, you're not ready for freedom. I'm not teaching any principle that unbelievers can use. I'm teaching the power of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing else. I am saying the power of that Lord Jesus, it makes a black African man living in Africa, stand tall in the face of anybody else in the world and says to the person, my continent is blessed. He said, how do you know? He said, because I am planted there. I am the salt of the earth, the light of the world. What do you mean? That was what my Jesus said. That Jesus that died for my sin. The reason why people are down is because of sin. When they talk about generational sins, it's not a lie. Generational curses. Generational curses is a result of generational sins. But I'm teaching the truth of God that you and me, we have been delivered.
Amen.
You know, this talk alone is 90% of the talk. That's it. It's of first importance. Every other thing we say is built upon this one. Christians often forget it. They go to church. One day I showed my wife. A church once published a magazine somewhere, and I laid my hands on it. I went through it. I showed my wife. I said, come and read through this magazine, front to back. Look for the name Jesus, Christ, God. Three things. Find it inside there for me. Church. She read from the beginning to the end. I said, when you find one of these three names, let me see it. Jesus, Christ, God. It was not there. But they were, you can do it. You have the power. It's in you. It's a lie. It's not in you. It's in God. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Abide in me. Otherwise, he said, if you don't abide in me, you wither and you die. I told my wife, I said, read this thing from the beginning to the end. No matter how foolish it sounds, if I want to preach anything, I must remind everybody that Jesus is Lord. He's Lord. He's alive forevermore. He died for our sins. He rose again on the third day because our sins have been forgiven. The Bible says we have been justified. We are justified in him. In him we succeed. Fruitfulness is because we are in him. There's no fruitfulness in methods. There's no fruitfulness in experience. There's no fruitfulness in connections. There's no fruitfulness in degrees. You can have a PhD and have a mental breakdown. There is nothing in anything. The only thing we hope in as believers is Christ. Our hope is built on nothing else but Jesus Christ and his righteousness. That cross that he climbed for our sake, where they killed him, took him down, buried him. On the third day, he rose again from the dead as a sign that everybody has been leveled. What I mean by leveled, whether you are Jew, Gentile, people say that you connect with a Jew, you will be blessed. It's an insult to Jesus. It's an insult to Jesus. You are insulting my Jesus when you open your mouth and say you connect to a Jew to be blessed. Do you realize that the blessing in Christ is superior to the one the Jew can ever imagine? How can a Christian say he needs to connect to a Jew to be blessed? You smoke something? The Jew needs to come to me. Let me show him where the blessing is. Oh, the Jew needs to come to me. It's the word of God. These are the things we need to get correct. The Jew needs to come to me to be blessed. How do I know? The Bible says we are the true circumcision. I mean, what else do you want to know? Who worship God in the spirit and have no confidence in the flesh? We're talking about circumcision. He said we are the true circumcision. Jesus looked at them and said, they said they are Jews, but they are not. But they are a synagogue of Satan. When the Lord wanted to speak, he looked at when Paul was praying. All right? Paul looked and said, peace be upon the Israel of God. And he was referring to the church of Christ. Please, I hope you are getting my point here. I'm not going to tell you you're already blessed. If you don't understand that, you will think you still need a blessing from somewhere. You still think you need a blessing from America. You think you need a blessing by connecting with a Jew. You think you need a blessing by running to Europe. I'm saying to you, Christ Jesus is the reason why you are blessed. Because of that Christ, wherever you are, the earth will grow because of you. Amen. Let me say it again. Because of that Christ, wherever you are, the earth will produce because of you. Amen. The curse on the earth, that curse that God placed on the earth because of the sin of Adam, was removed in your life because of Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's continue reading. Where did we stop? Verse what? All right. Let me just start from verse 12. It said, now if Christ is preached, there has been raised from the dead, how do many among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is vain. Your faith also is vain. Moreover, we are often found to be false witnesses of God because we testified against God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise. If in fact the dead are not raised. He was just emphasizing the fact that, listen, dead things can come to life again. If the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins. then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If we have hoped, he said, if we have hope in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied. But now, Christ Jesus has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. For since by a man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. Let me stop here. What am I trying to say here? Everything that died in your life is raised because Jesus has been raised.
Amen.
The curse that was on the earth because of sin in your life is broken.
Amen.
Somebody will say, Pastor Banky, what is the law in what you are preaching? Listen, this is the first important thing. This is of first importance. This must be in your heart. If this is not in your heart, every other thing you are operating is not the grace of Christ. If you go out in the morning to go and pursue a career, a business, a ministry, whatever it is, and this is not in your heart, you are going out to struggle. I hope you are getting my point. You must understand. Oh, later on, if I have time, I will explain it. There's a difference between the righteousness of faith and the righteousness of works. And we believers, we are operating the righteousness of faith. What is the righteousness of works? Let me just give an example of the difference between the two. The righteousness of works says, please, so give, so that God will be able to multiply. But the righteousness of faith says, I have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places because of the grace of my Lord Jesus Christ. Do you understand my point? I have passed out of death into life. I know the grace of my Lord Jesus, I wanted to say, in that he was rich, but for my sake, he became poor. So I, through his poverty, have been made rich. So when I give because I'm like my father. Are you seeing that attitude? The righteousness of work says, get up, get out in the morning, go about your business, go hard, prophesy, pray, labor. Then you will succeed. The righteousness of faith says otherwise. He says, I'm a blessing that God has created. He created me as a blessing. If I stay at home, you know, the Bible says that no one lights a light and hides it under a bushel. If I stay in my house, I'm in a bushel. I'm the light of the world. I'm the light that God leads. Let me go out and go and shine. So when I go out to look for a job, I'm looking for where to shine, not because I'm hungry. That's the righteousness of faith. The attitude is that I'm not because I'm hungry. So let me tell you something. When you go for an interview, do you know it reflects in your voice? It reflects in your face. People say when you are going for an interview, you dress well. You wear a good tie. You look like a millionaire. You know the truth? I believe in dressing well. Don't you think I believe in dressing well?
Yes.
You think so? Thank you very much. All right? So I'm not talking about dressing well. But you know, people believe, they will describe all those outward things. The people wearing the fine suits have empty spirits. It's not the cloth. Oh, Father in heaven. It's not the cloth. If Adam walked into an interview place before sin, naked, they wouldn't notice. The glory in him was... Listen, by the time they were talking about Joseph, who knew what he wore in prison? He got the job essentially before the interview. I hope you're getting my point here. Don't focus. You know, people say, you have to... Dressing is not bad. I believe in dressing well. I believe in dressing, like Archbishop Idahosa will say, the way you want to be addressed. I think it should look good. If it's a reflection of what God has done for you in Christ. You can't be looking like all the problems of the world are on your shoulders and you now say Jesus died for you. Are you getting my point? It doesn't fit. It should look like somebody that's blessed. It should show in your face. You understand? You smile, not... Brother, give your life to Christ too. And the man is wondering, who wants to be like you? I'm not emphasizing something. All right? So I believe in dressing well. But listen, you can't spend all the time dressing well and your spirit is empty. If you know important people, oh God. When you are standing before a man who signs and pays, let's just use something small in Nigeria of today, 100 million naira a month as salaries. you can be sure he knows how to look through dresses. He can see through it. You're not the first to dress well. People have gone to higher ties to come before him before. It's when you open your mouth and your spirit starts expressing itself that the man will know what substance is inside you. That's what I'm saying. Because we have been delivered, you know in life you have been delivered from poverty. You're not looking for a job because you're afraid of poverty. You are looking for a job because you have to work and you have to express the godliness that is in you. You have to bless somebody. Our first importance is for us to know what God has done for us in Christ. Don't, please, resign from a church where every Sunday you go to church. They are telling you how to struggle to break out of poverty, break out of curses, break out of this, break out of that. They're not helping your faith. They are weakening your faith. You're always struggling. Our first importance today, I preach to you that you have been made successful in Christ.
Amen.
You have been made successful in Christ.
Amen.
Our first importance today, I preach to you that Jesus died to wipe away from your life that curse that holds people down.
Amen.
Our first importance, I preach to you that the thing you need in life is the grace of the Lord Jesus. And it has been manifested even now in your life.
Amen.
Listen, poverty has been broken.
Amen.
Unfruitfulness has been destroyed.
Amen.
Some people have to quickly succeed. You know, for one reason. God said, listen, this is a matter of fact. Recession will soon be over. I want them to succeed materially, physically, before the recession is over. So that they will prove that it is God actually, not the environment. If you're a candidate for that, rise to your feet. In the midst of recession, success will manifest.
Amen.
In the midst of recession, breakthrough will manifest.
Amen.
Please, let's begin to pray. I wanted to take more time to pray, but let's just take a few minutes. I want us to declare God's word. Begin to give the Lord thanks. Today, just say, Lord, of first importance, I want to thank you that sin has been removed. Begin to thank God for that. Of first importance, I want to thank you that poverty has been broken. The curse on the earth has been broken. Of first importance, I want to thank you that I'm not struggling to succeed. I have been set free. Of first importance, I want to thank you that the grace of Jesus is mine. It's of first importance. It's of first importance. Of first importance. It's of first importance. It's of first importance. Is a law of faith and grace. The law of faith and grace is of first importance. It's of first importance. Just thank the Lord for it. Now declare after me, say in the name of Jesus,
I know
that I'm free. Say
in the name of Jesus,
Jesus went to the cross for me.
He died for my sins.
He set me free from my sins. He rose up again as a sign
that
I have been set free.
Say,
nothing can hold me down.
Satan cannot hold me down.
The devil and his agents, they can't hold me down. Say, sin cannot overcome me. Say, recession cannot pull me down. Say,
in Christ Jesus,
I am free.
Free
to serve the Lord.
Free to be fruitful.
Listen to this. At the beginning, what did God say? Be fruitful and multiply. Then later on, he said, cursed is the earth because of sin. We're talking about Adam now. Because of what you have done, cursed is the earth. But in Christ Jesus, the Bible says Jesus died for your sins. What does that mean? You are back to that beginning. Therefore, I declare God's word to you. You are fruitful.
Amen.
You will multiply.
Amen.
You will fill the earth.
Amen.
You will have dominion.
Amen.
You will succeed.
Amen.
You will demonstrate the freedom that is in Christ.
Amen.
Declare it again. Say, I am free.
I am free.
I am fruitful.
I
will multiply.
I will multiply.
Every curse
has
been broken in my life. The curse of Adam
has been broken.
The curse of Noah.
Listen,
the curse of Noah is the reason why black men are down. I can't discuss it now. Say,
the curse of Noah
has been broken
in my life.
Wherever I am,
there I will succeed.
Let me tell you something I learned today. No man, I'm like that. When something is hot inside my stomach, I can't keep it down. It's like fire in my bones. I was listening to Rabbi Zacharias talk. He said, when God cast Adam and Eve out of the garden, he cast them out towards the east. When Cain was driven out, he went towards the east. When the people went to build the Tower of Babel, they went towards the east. He said, when Abraham and Lot were going to separate, that Lot went towards the east. That the first man to turn towards the west was Abraham. And when he turned towards the west, as if turning back towards God, God said to him, I will give you the north, the east, the north, the south, the east, and the west. What am I saying? We are of the faith of Abraham. We have turned our back on every accursed thing. Every curse is the other direction. We are of the faith of Abraham, which means that in all that we do, we will prosper. Listen, when Lot went one direction, Abraham went towards the west, which was supposedly less productive. Are you getting my point here? But he was the one that was more blessed. And the blessing inside him manifested wherever he went. Listen, your blessing will manifest wherever you go.
Amen.
In Enugu, it will manifest.
Amen.
Listen, Joseph went to prison. His blessing manifested. He was farther from the throne, but he was closer to the throne. Are you getting my point here? Wherever you go, you have not gotten farther away from prosperity. You are closer to prosperity.
Amen.
Even if you go into a bush somewhere and start farming, from there, the king will send for you and will lose you.
Amen.
And you will become a ruler amongst the people.
Amen.
That's the power of the blessing. Declare it again. Say, I am blessed
in Christ Jesus
with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Say, poverty has been broken. Lack of fruitfulness has been broken. Because I am in Christ Jesus. I want to celebrate that Christ Jesus again. Just celebrate him. Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you. Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you. Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Please, let's just take our seats. We are closing now. That's the first and most important thing. If you expect me to start with the principle of how to do this, how to do that, lie, that's the arm of the flesh. If you understand Christ and walk in him, results, listen, principles will talk to you. Are you getting my point? Ajilotuno said, I look back, I did everything wrong, I shouldn't succeed, but I succeeded. Why? Grace was working with him. A blessing was working with him. Let me not start again. If I say, I'll start preaching again. What I want to do these days in my ministry is just to magnify Christ. Nothing else, just magnify Christ. Because when you magnify him, other things are drawn to him. You say, if I'm lifted up, I will draw all men. Earlier on, he taught through Solomon, David and Solomon, actually, that if you lift up wisdom, and that's Jesus, so he will draw long life, he will draw prosperity. Anything you want, you will draw. But lift up wisdom, lift up Christ. We can't be running with men. No. We have to mount up with wings like eagles. Many books we read, there are books on how to run with men and succeed. How to race against horses while running. How to take performance-enhancing drugs. And God is just looking like this. Say, oh, foolish Galatians. Why don't you just mount up with wings like the eagle? That's what grace does. Grace teaches you how to spread your wings, how to connect with the current, and it blows it on you. You now hear the wind blows where it listed. Just give him thanks. Again, say, Lord, you will reveal to me this week what I need to know. I receive understanding from you. Now I prophesy to you, it is well with you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You will be fruitful.
Amen.
You will multiply.
Amen.
You will fill the earth.
Amen.
You will have dominion.
Amen.
You will have authority.
Amen.
You will shine in this life.
Amen.
Even in the midst of recession, you will shine.
Amen.
You will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water.
Amen.
You will bear your fruit in your own season.
Amen.
In whatever you do, you will prosper.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
As you go, it is well with you.
Amen.
Goodness will go with you. Mercy will go with you.
Amen.
I say, as you go, goodness will go with you.
Amen.
And mercy will go with you.
Amen.
You will be protected from all evil.
Amen.
No evil will befall you, and no plague will come near your dwelling place. Strength for your body, in the name of Jesus. Your lack, they are met, in the name of Jesus. God will make all grace abound towards you. You will have all sufficiency in all things, and you are bound to every good work, in the name of Jesus Christ. All right, the Lord is good. Now let's share the grace in fellowship. One, two, go. Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death, and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessings. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil, because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of fruitfulness and multiplication, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. One more time. This is mine. Now, for those who are coming for the first time, when we say one more time, we personalize it. All right, let's do it one more time. This is my season of fruitfulness and multiplication. In the name of Jesus. Now, you bless somebody on your left or your right. This is your season of fruitfulness. Bless another person. This is your season of fruitfulness and multiplication. Bless one more person. This is your season of fruitfulness and multiplication, in the name of Jesus. All right, cheer up, brethren.